You know, Jesus had the opportunity to be born at any point throughout history that he desired. He could have been born in 2025. He could have been born in 3025. He could have been born 1000 BC. But we know that being born when he was the perfection of time. It was the fullness of time. It was when it was supposed to be. But Jesus being born in, you know, zero, before the invention of the printing press, before the invention of mass media communication, he didn't have all that at his disposal. So what Jesus had, though, was word of mouth and the power of preaching one-on-one. And so much of his preaching was in the form of testimony, was in the form of parables. And so we have over and over and over again all these different parables throughout time that Jesus is presenting to us. But with each of the parables, like, there's some of them are like there's multiple different facets or multiple different ways that you could read them or interpret them, or some of them just kind of make you sit there and scratch your head like, what is what is the point, the preference, that what is the lesson that Jesus is trying to communicate here? But the beautiful thing about parables is that it's not necessarily set in stone. It's not necessarily like the Summa Theologica from St. Thomas Aquinas. It's very logical, very precise, very like systematic. Parables aren't quite that. But what they do have is they're easy to tell. They're easy to remember. They're easy to pass on by word of mouth. And they're easily adaptable from generation to generation, from culture to culture. Doesn't matter if you lived in the Middle Ages in Europe or the modern ages in Africa, parables can apply and be directly interpreted by you in your context. So, taking all of this to the gospel today, I think this is one of the more difficult or tricky ones that makes us scratch our head like, okay, what's the point here? What's Jesus trying to drive home? It's the dishonest steward who was reported for squandering his master's property. Hey, you're dishonest. You've been you know, taking advantage of me. Guess what? You're done. Set up an account for yourself, but you're out. You're gone. You're done for. So, all right, he's been taking advantage of his master. And then when he realizes the gig is up, what's he do? He doubles down and does it even more. So that when he's kicked out, he has a place to go, a soft place to land, trying to ingratiate himself to the debtors of his master. And he's commended for this. What? Okay, so what part of this is Jesus commending? Is he saying, yes, we should be dishonest like this? Yes, we should be taking advantage of the people that we work for? No. He does tell us. The master commended that dishonest steward. Why? For acting prudently. That is the point that Jesus is making here. The dishonest steward acted prudently. Now, in order to really kind of understand and draw this out a little bit, in our Diocese of Wichita, we talk about stewardship all the time. I think we understand the concept of stewardship, but just to reiterate, like, stewards are, they don't own the property. They're in charge of somebody else's stuff. The king, the landlord, whoever it is, they put the steward in charge. Hey, you take care of my stuff. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to travel around. I don't want to be bogged down with the minutiae of day-to-day life. You take care of things. But it does not belong to the steward. That's a very, very important piece of this whole thing. It's not the steward's property. So, the steward acts, though. When he realizes the gig is up, when he realizes I've been using and spending and cutting a little off the top and bringing it into my pocket, and that is over, he gets desperate. He realizes, okay, there's a short, limited period of time, and I got to do something about this. You can hear the desperation in his voice when he says, I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. In other words, he knows his plight is pretty severe, pretty dire. More than likely, you know, stewards work their way up to get to the point of head steward. You've got to work your way up. So more than likely, this is a guy's at retirement age. He doesn't have, I mean, you know, at 65 years old, he's not ready to go dig ditches And so there's a short window that he has here, and so he's acting. He acted prudently. Now, the second half of the gospel today, Jesus develops this a little bit. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. The children of this world, the people who strictly live on the natural level, they don't think or they don't believe, they have no hope beyond the grave, they have no thought beyond what they can physically grasp, what they can put in their bellies, that's it. That's all they care about. But you look at the ambition of people who have no faith. You look at the strictly secular ambition of the world. People, athletes, who can deny themselves all kinds of stuff. Wake up, 4 o'clock in the morning, day after day after day. Jump in the pool and swim for hours and hours and hours. Deny themselves all kinds of food. Be on a very strict regimen. All this kind of stuff so that they can be at the top of their craft. Which is laudable. But it's also passing. You look at the pursuit of wealth, of the business world, of the corporate America, and how hard these guys and these men and women go to like pursue that goal of reaching the top, the pinnacle, to grow their bottom dollar. You look at even some movies like The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. It's a kind of a really interesting story of this man who really he bets it all. He puts it all out on the line so that he could just get his foot in the door in the corporate world. The sacrifices that he makes because he's trying to pursue happiness. And then you look at all that, and then you compare that to the average Christian in the pew, and kind of the ho-hum, well, I'll get to the spiritual life eventually. I know there's issues here, but maybe I'll work on that at some point. Where's the fire? Where's the passion? Where's the zeal? Where's the sense of urgency? For so many of us, it's just simply not there. How many of us drag our feet through Lent when we're asked to make some sort of sacrifices or to not eat meat on Fridays and we act like that's the biggest task and burden upon us? I think that's the juxtaposition that Jesus is trying to draw out through this parable. The children of this world they're pursuing excellence in so many ways. And so many of us, and the thing that really we claim matters the most, we're so slow. Now, in a particular way, this dishonest wealth, that's what Jesus is talking about with this honest wealth, is the wealth of somebody else that we are stewards of. So the wealth that you have in your pocket, the numbers in your bank account, the time that you have as the clock ticks by, none of that belongs to you ultimately. That's what we believe. That you and I are stewards. That the money that has been entrusted to you, the family that's been entrusted to you, the time that's been entrusted to you, it doesn't belong to you. You're simply managing it for the guy who does own it, the Lord. And so, as we look at our wealth and how many of us just, again, stay strictly in the material world, trying to gain up and build up as much as we can just to have our little nest egg and take our vacations and so on and so on, again, without looking to what's eternal. So that's the major final thrust, the final punchline of the gospel today. You cannot serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Stuff. There's a choice that has to be made. And so rather than just assuming that, I'll sort that out maybe when I'm in retirement age, maybe, right before the end, I'll figure all that stuff out. And we kick the can down the road and we have this lackadaisical approach. The gospel today is supposed to be challenging us to prudent action today. And so your homework assignment for this week, if you want something to maybe contemplate, so that it's not just a nice pious thought that goes in one ear and straight out the other, but to ask yourself, what is one thing? If you were to challenge yourself, what is one thing, one concrete thing that you know you need to change or do differently? What is something that needs to change in your life to be a good, prudent steward? Change that thing. Make a plan. Concrete action. Maybe even particularly when it comes to money, when it comes to wealth, if you're one of those people like, man, I've been meaning to tithe and I just haven't got around to it. Okay, well, do it. If it's something where you know that you're just wasting a bunch of time, you know that there's you know, conversations that need to happen with you and your family, and you've been kicking them off and putting them down the road, do something about it. We're called to prudent action. It must translate into action. May we be prudent stewards.